You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Wednesday edition. Last night, I would say about 12:30, we're really today, 12:30 in the morning, I was listening to a local talk show, and they broke the news. It's the first time I've heard of it. By now, if you watch TV or listen to any news, you're probably aware of this. There was a fire, a huge fire, in West London. It was a 24-story public housing complex. And you really need to see the videos. And I can't describe it except the reaction of the firefighters. They've never seen a fire so quickly engulf the entire building. That's why I called it the Towering Inferno. We'll learn more, but what was more than interesting, it seems that the tenants that lived in it complained many times of what they perceived as the danger of fire to this building. And it unfortunately, it did happen. It looks, early reports said there were six dead. I have later reports that say 12. I think the death count will go up because there are many people, especially on the higher floors. There's no way the fire department can get ladders to them. And people were, you know, waving, trying to get attention. I heard reports that a baby was thrown out. Fortunately, I think lived on the lower floors. But if you're up in the, even on the 10th floor, you can't really jump. But if you have a wall of flames, do you want to die burning or do you want to die when you hit the cement? And that gives anyone pause living in a steel structure, and this is a steel structure. It's, you can't build buildings that tall, and it's a fairly, I say fairly new. It was built in the 1970s. It was, they upgraded it, spent almost $13 million in refurbishing the building over the last 2 years. So there's going to be an investigation, you better believe it, because over 200 firemen were dispatched to it, but there was very little that they could do, given the entire building was engulfed. It was still burning this morning. And I normally don't do fires or accidents, especially in foreign countries, but this was so vivid if you watch the video. And for new listeners, the way you listen to this show is go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, pronkpops.wordpress.com. And under my photograph, you'll have links to the most recent 60 to 80 of the shows. But under that, you'll have my notes for the stories that I'm going to be covering. Now, if you listened to the last show, you knew it was a rather short show. And I was going to expand on it, and I'm still going to do that, but I first need to point out, I woke up this morning and was listening to another talk show. This one was a nationally syndicated show, and they had a substitute host, and he was interviewing someone. As a matter of fact, they just got him on the phone, started the interview, and then had to interrupt it because there was breaking news. And that's the story I'm going to spend a considerable amount of time on, not the entire show, though. What he was saying is there was an attack, a gunman, a shooting at the baseball field in, I want to say Arlington. It's not Arlington. It's Alexandria, Virginia. The Republican, both Senate and House, has a baseball team. They have an annual event that's going to take place tomorrow, a charitable event, against the Republicans versus the Democrats. So each team is practicing, and the Republicans were practicing early in the morning. About this event occurred a little after 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and it was a little bit after 6. I think I learned about it about 6:45 local, which would be 7:45. It took a while for the news to get out. And the Republican whip, what the whip, for those that are not familiar with politics or don't follow it, a whip, each party has a whip, and usually they have more than one, that their responsibility is to count votes. So if they're trying to get a bill passed, legislation passed, the whip needs to know how people are going to vote, either for it or against it. And it was the House Republican whip, Steve Scalise, that I'm mispronouncing his name, and I do apologize, was shot in the hip. It looks like he will live, but he was probably the most serious injured. And he was playing second base, and what happened is someone with a rifle, they identified him as James Hodgkinson. We know of his politics because he blogged about it. He's a Democratic socialist, a big Bernie Sanders supporter, and an anti-Trump hater. He opened fire with a semi-automatic rifle, came with a lot of ammunition, and was trying to kill the people that were on the field. Now, the early story was that some people were leaving, and this gentleman was arriving. He was outside the field. There's a fence around the field, and he couldn't get in because the gate was locked. So he was near the third base foul line, and was shooting at the people on the field. Fortunately, the House whip has security. Capitol Police, in this case, two officers, were there to protect them because they are getting death threats. Very few in the House or the Senate have that protection. It's only the leadership. The House Speaker does. The Minority Leader does. Same in the Senate. And certain of the, if you're in a leadership position, might have security. But most representatives and most senators don't have it. As a matter of fact, very few do. Only if you're very high up in the leadership. And just because you're in the leadership doesn't mean you're going to get protection, because that's very, very expensive. But he was there. Fortunately for him, that his protection was there, because no one on that field, and it's not only representative senators, it's also their staffs and people that support the baseball team, were there for practice. It's fortunate that that security detail, those officers were there because they're the only ones that had guns. And they did return fire. It very much looked like a combat situation where you had one rifleman pinning down the team, firing at them with a rifle. And a semi-automatic rifle at that range even is deadly. And this gentleman had been practicing. Apparently he's not a very good shot, but he had a scope, was aiming and firing it. And he did wound not only the House Majority Whip, but also a lobbyist, a staffer, and one other person. Those are the ones, there are four people that suffered wounds from the rifle. A couple of people in trying to run away from this or hide, take cover in the dugout, for example, either sprained their ankle. They had secondary injuries. They weren't put out of commission. But a police officer was seriously wounded. But the two policemen did kill the assailant. Now, this story is the story of today. It's getting coverage on all the networks, extended coverage. But why? Why would someone of the other party, a Democrat, supposedly an avowed socialist, Bernie Sanders supporter, why would he drive? He's out of state. I believe Michigan, Maryland or Michigan. I'm pretty sure it was Maryland. But I could be wrong. And I need to say this. I've covered many of these events, and the early information is usually incorrect. You're going to have, there's going to be wrong information. And only later, typically days, weeks later, do you really get better information. Supposedly, the assailant was living out of his car. He was homeless. I don't know what I'm thinking about. He is from Illinois, and he drove to Virginia 2 months ago and has been living out of his car there. He does have some prior history with the law, some assault charges with a neighbor. But why would he take a rifle and shoot people that really he doesn't know? They're strangers. He doesn't know who these people are other than they're Republicans. I want you to think about that for a minute. You get so immersed in politics, so emotional about it, and what fuels that emotion, it's what I call big lie media. Your major networks, CNN, and your large city newspapers such as the New York Times, Washington Post, Los Angeles Times, and other papers. And I call them the big lie media because they are publishing and putting on the air stories that are definitely biased. You can forget about objective journalism. Journalism, as far as I'm concerned, is dead and has been dead for quite a while. Because big lie media is in the tank, is supporting Democrats. And they're putting out what I consider progressive propaganda. Sometimes they have the facts accurate, sometimes they don't. But their sources are unnamed. In many cases, leakers. They've been inflaming the Democratic base. That's what's been going on. Both people in the Democratic Party and their allies in big lie media. They're following the tactics of Saul Alinsky, the so-called community organizer. He was a communist. He was really a communist organizer. Out of Chicago, Illinois again. And who did Hillary Clinton write her senior thesis in college on? Saul Alinsky. She was a big follower and fan of Saul Alinsky. A matter of fact, Saul Alinsky, when he was alive in the 60s and early 70s, wanted her to work for him. He was so impressed with her. Barack Obama learned his community activist skills in an institution supported by Saul Alinsky. You see, what's going on in this country today is the lying lunatic left, because Hillary Clinton was supposed to win, cannot accept the results of the election. They have become Trump deranged, and the networks and the papers are fueling this, saying that Trump didn't win legitimately. He won because he was colluding with the Russians. Now, we've had a 7-month investigation, and they have come up with no evidence to support their conspiracy theory. No evidence. That hasn't stopped them. Now it's obstruction of justice. They're trying, by hook or by crook, by fair means or foul means, to undermine this presidency. Remember, Donald Trump, whose birthday it is today, and let me wish Mr. Trump a happy birthday, even though the circumstances are not that pleasant, I'm sure he'll remember this birthday. Fortunately, in Washington, no one was killed except the assailant. And for all practical purposes, that baseball field, it's in a residential area, ladies and gentlemen. And no one really knew, except the assailant did. Somehow, some way, he knew that the GOP and Democrat congressmen, senators, and their staffs practice at this field. Many in the local neighborhood did not. They were interviewing someone that has a coffee shop, restaurant across the street. He said, I didn't know they were congressmen or senators. So apparently, the assailant did some planning, but what he didn't count on is the Capitol Police were there. Normally, they would not be there. If you did not have someone in the leadership that had that security protection, this could have been a massacre. This could have been a mass shooting where the death count would probably number 1 or 2 dozen people. Because he literally could methodically go from person to person and shoot them at rather close range with a rifle, and you normally don't survive that. So we have a lot of people are thankful today that they're alive, only because of the actions of the two Capitol Police. And their heroic efforts, one was a female officer, Crystal, that was one of the persons shot. There were a total of 4. Initially, they thought both police officers were killed. Now, that my understanding, that's been corrected to 1. But the police officers returned fire, and it's only because of that return fire. They tried to shout to him to drop the gun, get on the ground. He went and he kept on firing, and they kept firing back. They only had pistols. They didn't have rifles. But apparently they practice a little bit more often and are more accurate. And the assailant, although he was taken to the hospital, he died at the hospital. Now, I want to play briefly President Trump's statement. And I have a lot of information on the assailant with pictures, but they're from foreign newspapers. The best newspapers today are in Great Britain in terms of getting pictures and the details. And that's a sad note. Now, eventually, U.S. papers catch up. But I want to play President Trump's announcement. I'm having terrible... Give me a second. I have to scroll. I think I scrolled too far down. That was my problem. Here's the President of the United States. I'm not going to play the whole thing's about 14 minutes, just the introduction.
As you all know, shortly after 7 a.m. this morning, a gunman opened fire on members of Congress and their staffs as they were practicing for tomorrow's annual charity baseball game. Authorities are continuing to investigate the crime, and the assailant has now died from his injuries. The FBI is leading the investigation and will continue to provide updates as new information becomes available. Congressman Steve Scalise, a member of House leadership, was shot and badly wounded and is now in stable condition at the hospital, along with two very courageous Capitol police officers. At least two others were also wounded. Many lives would have been lost if not for the heroic actions of the two Capitol police officers who took down the gunman despite sustaining gunshot wounds during a very, very brutal assault. Melania and I are grateful for their heroism and praying for the swift recovery of all victims. Congressman Scalise is a friend, and a very good friend. He's a patriot, and he's a fighter. He will recover from this assault. And Steve, I want you to know that you have the prayers, not only of the entire city behind you, but of an entire nation, and frankly, the entire world. America is praying for you, and America is praying for all of the victims of this terrible shooting. I spoke with Steve's wife, Jennifer, and I pledged to her our full and absolute support. Anything she needs, we're with her and with the entire Scalise family. I have also spoken with Chief Matthew Verderosa. He's doing a fantastic job of the Capitol Police to express our sympathies for his wounded officers and to express my admiration for their courage. Our brave Capitol Police perform a challenging job with incredible skill, and their sacrifice makes democracy possible. We also commend the brave first responders from Alexandria Police Fire and Rescue, who rushed to the scene. Everyone on that field is a public servant. Our courageous police, our congressional aides, who work so tirelessly behind the scenes with enormous devotion, and our dedicated members of Congress who represent our people. We may have our differences, but we do well in times like these to remember that everyone who serves in our nation's capital is here because, above all, they love our country. we can all agree that we are blessed to be Americans, that our children deserve to grow up in a nation of safety and peace, and that we are strongest when we are unified and when we work together for the common good. Please take a moment today to cherish those you love and always remember those who serve and keep us safe. God bless them all. God bless you. And God bless America. Thank you.
That was President Trump giving his comments on an update, really, on the shooting today during baseball practice for the Republicans. The House Speaker, as well as the minority leader in the House, spoke also. I want to play again Paul Ryan.
I pledge allegiance and invites the members of the gallery to join. We are all praying for those who were attacked and for their families. Steve Scalise, Zachary Barth, Matt Micah, Special Agent David Bailey, Special Agent Crystal Griner. We are all giving our thoughts to those currently being treated for their injuries at this moment. And we are united. We are united in our shock. We are united in our anguish. An attack on one of us is an attack on all of us.
The entire House stood up.
I know we want to give our thanks to the first responders and to the Alexandria Police Department who are on the scene in minutes. And I know this House wants to state unequivocally that we are, as ever, awed by the tremendous bravery of the Capitol Police. I spoke with Special Agent Bailey and Special Agent Griner this morning. One was being treated and one was about to go into surgery. I expressed our profound gratitude to them. It is clear to me, based on various eyewitness accounts, that without these two heroes, Agent Bailey and Agent Griner, many lives would have been lost. I know that we all want to learn as much as we can about what happened. We just all received a briefing from the Sergeant of Arms. I have complete confidence in the investigation that's being conducted by the Capitol Police, the FBI, who are also working with local law enforcement. I know we want to extend our gratitude for the outpouring of support that we've received from throughout the Capitol and from throughout the country. And now, knowing Steve Scalise, as we all do, he is likely really frustrated that he's not going to be able to play in the baseball game. I also know that Steve wants all of us to commend the bravery of those who came to the aid of the wounded. In the coming days, we will hear their stories, and we will have the chance to hold up their heroism. My colleagues, there are so many memories from this day that we will want to forget, and there are so many images that we will not want to see again. But there is one image in particular that this House should keep. And that is a photo I saw this morning of our Democratic colleagues gathered in prayer this morning after hearing the news. You know, every day we come here to test and to challenge each other. We feel so deeply about the things that we fight for and the things that we believe in. At times, our emotions can clearly get the best of us. We're all imperfect. But we do not shed our humanity when we enter this chamber. For all the noise and all the fury, we are one family. These were our brothers and sisters in the line of fire. These were our brothers and sisters who ran into danger and saved countless lives. So before this house returns to its business, let's just slow down and reflect, to think about how we're all being tested right now, because we are being tested right now. I ask each of you to join me to resolve to come together, to lift each other up, and to show the country, to show the world, that we are one house, the people's house, united in our humanity. It is that humanity which will win the day, and it always will. God bless. I yield.
Former Speaker Nancy Pelosi will next speak. She's now Minority Leader.
Purposes, gentlelady from California, seek recognition.
Speaker, I rise to join the distinguished speaker in paying tribute to the brave men and women of the Capitol Police Force, and also in sadness for the assault that was made on our colleagues and members of the staff. To my colleagues, you're going to hear me say something you've never heard me say before. I identify myself with the remarks of the speaker. They're beautiful remarks, Mr. Speaker. Thank you so much. For the sentiments that they represent, thank you so much.
I'll leave it there because we're running out of time. I think for the next couple of days, the rhetoric will be toned down, not only by the politicians, but also by the big lie media, the television networks, in particular CNN and the newspapers. They have been complicit in ramping up the rhetoric. It was not too long ago a comedian thought it was acceptable to have the severed head of the president, not the actual one, and she held it in her hand, very similar to what ISIS does. And then she wondered why she got fired and thought it was acceptable. Oh, she apologized. You would have thought anyone with common sense and decency would not have done that. But it's become fashionable amongst the far left, the radical left, to make death threats. Also in the news was the play Julius Caesar. They modernized it by having the actors wear suits, and they portrayed Caesar with a actor that looked and was made up like Donald Trump. And they wondered why one or more sponsors withdrew. That's not acceptable. I was listening to a talk show host that I have been listening for going on 30 years. I think he's celebrating his 30th anniversary this August. He predicted yesterday that something like this would happen. And if I can find the clip, I'm going to play it. Just give me a second.
I'm a crazed Bernie Sanders supporter, 66-year-old James Hodgkinson, deranged and delusional, no doubt driven that to some degree, as we've been able to ascertain by examining the Facebook pages of groups that he watches, joins, interacts with, as well as the media he consumes. He's from Belleville, Illinois. A CNN anchor asked the governor of Virginia today, the punk, Terry McAuliffe, said, how did he get here from Illinois? I'm not kidding. The anchorette actually said, how did he get here from Illinois? What? Why was he here and not in Illinois? CNN is really, 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 really low-key today because they know. They know. I want to take you back to just yesterday, ladies and gentlemen. Unfortunately, I essentially predicted this tragedy yesterday.
They better be very careful, because their base donors and their base voters, I don't think, can handle many more of these rising expectations and assurances that Trump is going to be put in jail, only to find there's no evidence he did anything wrong. At some point, these people are going to crack, and they're not going to just start cutting heads off of dolls, and they're not just going to start using fake knives to stab people in Central Park.
And lo and behold, 24 hours later, less than 24 hours later, the gunman opens fire at a baseball practice involving members of the Republican Party. It's the annual baseball softball game between the Democrats and the Republicans, one of the last events of genuine bipartisanship and unity is this charity baseball game. And now that's been blown to smithereens. Mr. Hodgkinson is clearly, well, he has passed away. He was clearly deranged, and he was enraged and obsessed. Now, whenever something like this happens, let's remember a movie house shooting in Colorado. The first thing that Brian Ross at ABC News did was try to find out whether or not the shooter was a member of the Tea Party. And lo and behold, there was a Tea Party member somewhere in Colorado that had a name very close to the name of the shooter. So Brian Ross goes on the air with it at ABC News. Oh, we can't be sure, but it looks like da-da-da-da-da-da. Gabby Giffords got shot. What happens? They blame Sarah Palin and then me. And by the way, I am being blamed for this shooting on C-SPAN today as the source of all of this partisanship, as the source of all of this rancor. It's me and Roger Ailes who are responsible for it, according to two callers on C-SPAN today. The sad and unfortunate fact is that, as evidenced by soundbite of me yesterday, I have foreseen this coming. You can't continue to enrage people the way the left and predominantly the media has been doing. The Democrat Party and the left for years have been feeding this. And particularly since the election of Trump, they have virtually assured reporters that Trump is guilty of treason. And every congressional hearing is going to provide the proof. Everyone. Sessions yesterday, Comey a couple of times, Sally Yates, you name it. They build up these expectations that Trump is not really the president. He shouldn't have been. He cheated.
That was the great Rush Limbaugh with a prediction that unfortunately came true yesterday. And he's right on the money, because not only do I have listened to Rush for many, many years, going on 30, so I know what he's about, but I also have to listen to Big Lie Media to see what they're saying. Big Lie Media, your New York Times, Washington Post, Los Angeles Times, and other papers in cities usually controlled by the Democratic Party, together with the major television networks, are all on the side of the Democratic Party and whoever their candidate is. And Hillary Clinton has the support, had the support at least, of Big Lie Media, as well as the donor class, Wall Street, and the big corporations. They all thought that Hillary Clinton was going to win, and when she didn't, they had to come up with a cover story, a fairy tale, a lie. And the big lie was that Trump was in collusion with the Russians, with Putin. Despite the fact that their own president that they supported twice, Barack Obama, together with his director of national intelligence, Clapper, after they launched, not an investigation, spying on the American people, primarily the Republicans and Trump, came up empty. They had no evidence that that happened. But in spite of that, and the fact that after 7 months they have no evidence, they continue with this cover story that's melting away because it has no evidence in fact, and it's become unbelievable. But the true believers, the Kool-Aid drinkers, their core Democratic base has become radicalized by Big Lie Media. Today, they reap what they sow. A radical leftist came to Washington, Virginia, Alexandria, and learned in the New York Times, if you were wondering how did he learn where the teams were playing, where was the ballpark? It was in a nice suburban upscale area of Alexandria, a ballpark where Little League teams practice. He planned it well, but he didn't know what days the Democrat baseball team practiced or the Republicans. That's why he asked as he came to this area, is it Republicans or Democrats on the field? He came to kill, and it was instigated and assisted by big lie media, not only the New York Times, but your major networks and papers. They're trying to make President Trump an illegitimate president, and initially they were going to try to impeach him in the first 6 months. It did not succeed and will not succeed. Impeachment is a political process. And now, after they've come up empty repeatedly on the fairy tale, a conspiracy theory of collusion with the Russians, they now write an article in the Washington Post, leaks again, leaks, that the FBI is investigating President Trump for obstruction of justice in the investigation of the collusion. These people never learn. They have no shame. And forget about this unity nonsense. I don't want to unify with radical leftists. The Democratic Party of my family in the 50s and 60s is no longer the Democratic Party of today. At one time, there were actually conservative Democrats. No longer. They used to have liberal Democrats. No longer. They have progressives. And progressives was a word to mask the fact that they were socialist and communist. And now they're trying to enrage their own political base. And we saw the consequences of that. The resistance. Shame on them. They are hypocrites, phonies, and never take responsibility for their actions. And they're already, and I've heard several people, the gun grabbers are out. I'm giving you a warning. The gun grabbers are out. They're using this again as an excuse. We have to abolish the Second Amendment and take people's guns. The American people are not going to let you do that. There'll be resistance on the right, and the Tea Party will reemerge if they attempt it. Let me make clear, as Senator Rand Paul said yesterday and others, if it hadn't been for the two Capitol Police officers that were there, it would have been a massacre. And that's what this lunatic leftist wanted. He wanted to kill Republicans. That's what he was about. He's a criminal, but he's also a radical leftist. And what do they want to do? They want to disarm law-abiding American citizens. Let them try to make that case and see what the effect is. They will lose, lose, and lose more elections. The Democratic Party is being destroyed and continues to be destroyed by the radical leftists that are now in control, because the American people will not side with murderers, and that's what this gentleman was. He came to assassinate many Republicans. He failed, and he paid the price with his life. But you better believe that there are thousands, if not millions, of more radicals that will follow his examples and maybe succeed, because they've been being provoked by big lie media spreading their lies, distortions, half-truths, leaks. Shame on them. And I must say this. This is going to continue until the Republican Party stands up to this, the leadership. And if they don't, if they want this to stop, it's time for President Trump to fulfill a campaign promise that he made in a debate with Hillary Clinton, that if he were elected president, he would instruct his attorney general to appoint a special prosecutor to investigate the many, many crimes of Hillary Clinton and her staff, as well as former President Bill Clinton with the Clinton Charitable Foundation. They're guilty of mishandling classified documents, destroying government documents, and public corruption. It's well past time that the elites that think they're above the law be called to task and indicted for their criminal behavior. It's time for the Republican Party and President Trump to go after criminal behavior on the part of the Democratic candidate for president, Hillary Clinton. The American people deeply resent that the elites in this country think they're above the law. They're not above the law. So, Mr. President, if you want the leaks to stop, if you want the fake news to stop, you need to go on the offense. Because when people think they're above the law and can gauge in behavior and not be brought to justice, then you, sir, are encouraging this criminal behavior. So it's time for a special prosecutor to look into the many crimes of Hillary and Bill Clinton. It's also time for President Trump to call for another special prosecutor to go after former President Obama that abused power by using the intelligence community to spy on the Republican Party, its candidates, and you, Mr. President. Unprecedented actions. They found nothing. Had they found something, they would have used it and leaked it in October and November. That is beyond the pale, and it's criminal to do it. That is the real scandal that big lie media, the television networks, and the newspapers refuse to focus in on, because they're actually real crimes, not imaginary, made-up crimes where there's no evidence or facts to support their charges. You need to act, because until you do, the leaking from wherever it's coming, whether it's the FBI, Department of Justice, the CIA, the NSA, wherever it's coming from. Embedded Clinton-Obama supporters that betray their oath of office by leaking highly classified information to the media because they're thinking they're doing the right thing when they're jeopardizing the national security of the American people. The media will continue to do this until you start really taking the gloves off and going after those that they have supported in the past, and those that have called for this type of resistance. Blood in the streets. Because if it's not stopped soon, this can easily get out of hand. Because the American people are not going to stand for a political party, the Democratic Party, largely controlled by progressives, trying to delegitimize a president by calling for their supporters to have blood running in the streets. I suggest you check the comments of former Attorney General Loretta Lynch, what she has been saying, and then look at the statements of people on CNN and MSNBC. I'm for the rule of law and the enforcement of law. I don't condone violence at all. But the people that are condoning it and encouraging it and enraging their base are big lie media, the national television networks, CNN, and MSNBC. I will put the blame where it belongs. You don't enrage people, get them angry, because when you do, you get idiots that go try to kill people that they don't even know and they don't even understand. They don't have the power of critical thinking or reason. They're acting on emotions and progressive propaganda peddled by the networks and the newspapers of this country. I will, in the next show, get back to the finishing up the Jeff Sessions Attorney General questioning that I promised for this show, but simply don't have the time to do. Thank you for listening. And now, America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College.
You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio, podcasted by prankpops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio.wordpress.com.